The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
We will kick things off, though, with that survey by Leia Healthcare about the cost of raising a child. €169,000, up 60% over the last 10 years. Conor Pope is a consumer affairs correspondent with the Irish Times. Wendy Grace, columnist and journalist with me as well. Conor, are you surprised it's that much?
I'm horrified, Kieran, I have to say. And I'm horrified because I have three children. So I was thinking, oh my God, what have I put myself in for? Is that €500,000 I have to spend on raising them?
You could trade them in for that €500,000, Conor.
I'm afraid the ship has sailed. It's already too late. But no, I mean, like some of the prices are eye-watering. And the Leia Life people broke it down. So for instance, the cost of nappies, it comes in at close to €1,500 per year. And that's up €500 over the last decade, while the cost of baby formula for a lot of parents is, again, €1,500 or just under that. Now, a lot of parents wouldn't have baby formula, but an awful lot of parents do. And then it also looked at it in a very granular level. So it priced food for children, pocket money, the cost of family holidays, cost of education. And when you add up all of the numbers, it is, as you said at the outset, incredibly eye-watering. But I suppose most parents, like, it's not like you're given that tally at the start of your parental journey and told, all right, lads, this is how much you're going to have to spend. So it does happen over an extended period. So maybe you don't feel the financial pain as much as the top line figures might suggest.
Is it money well spent as well, ultimately?
100%. And I'm not saying that just because my children might be listening. Because they're probably not, let's be honest. But no, it is absolutely the best money I'd ever spent. And I think most parents would almost certainly agree, because it is one of those things that you don't look at the finances of those things. And there's an awful lot of people out there who have kids who are, they bring them great joy. There's an awful lot of people out there who'd like children and who are maybe struggling. So the idea that the financial implications would be a serious factor, I don't buy that at all, not for a second.
Well, Wendy Grace, I mentioned, is with us as well, whose baby number four is due imminently, I understand.
I was going to say, Conor's talking about the three kids. I'm going, well, there's a fourth on the way. So, reading that headline. But I kind of agree with Conor. Look, it's over the course of 21 years. Now, look, it has increased in the last 10 years by nearly 60%. So, but I do think one of the things that struck me was, because this was parents answering the survey, and they said that they did feel a lot of pressure to get their children everything they want. So I suppose when I kind of read that, that just broke my heart a little bit, and I can understand it. In our house, we're kind of fully aware we're going to have four kids. It ain't cheap. And we're starting as we mean to go on. You know, we're giving our kids a thick skin in terms of, I guess, living, knowing that they just want you. They want your time. And I think parents put a lot of pressure on themselves to have, you know, all the after-school activities, holidays, so many things that they spend money on that our kids just don't need, that we certainly grew up happy
with. When did you sit down and decide to be so mean? Was it something in advance, or did it just come naturally?
You know what the mad thing is, right? I remember coming back from our first kind of family holiday to France when we had three. And then we had a week down in a mobile home in Wexford. And I said to the kids afterwards, now the family holiday in France cost thousands. That was eye-watering. Obviously, the mobile home, a lot less. And I said, which one did you prefer? And they're all sitting at me looking, thinking, really mulling it over. And they said Wexford. And I thought, do you know what? They just want us. They want our time. They want to be with us. I would say as well, with the fourth on the way, it's not, I don't see the multiplier effect. Like, there is some economies of scale. Yes, very good at batch cooking. My kids are trained for the markdown labels in the supermarkets and all that sort of stuff. But I do think that you kind of, as a parent, have to get used to them saying, such and such has X, Y, or Z. And I say, I don't care. This is how our family does it. And so, for example, if we're going to, let's say, a fun fair, I'll give them a budget. They're given their few euros. That's all they have. Tough luck when they spend it, you know. Life is hard. And I guess we're starting, as we mean to go on with that. You know, I and my husband, we both started working when we were 15. And one of the pieces in that survey says parents say 15 to 17 is one of the most expensive times. And I'm thinking, hang on a second, that's when I was sent out to work. My mother used to give me my children's allowance, but I had to buy all my own clothes, shoes. That was my money. And by God, I learned how to budget well. And I'm very thankful for that. And it wasn't, thankfully, it wasn't because we were tight in our house. I didn't want for anything. They just wanted to teach me the value of money, to know that it's not all kind of handed to you. Because one of the pieces in that survey says the amount spent on pocket money is nearly $4,000 a year. And that, to me, I just thought, wow, no, my kids will be getting a job as soon as they can, just like I did. And it stood to me, and I think it, when I think of even, say, our grandparents' generation, like my dad came from a family of seven, grew up in a three-bed semi. They managed to survive. They all got educated. They all got good jobs. But maybe we are spoiling our kids a little bit there, I guess.
Yeah, look, maybe there is a bit of that. But society has fundamentally kind of reshaped itself since your dad was raised as well. You know what I mean? That was an area where somebody could afford to keep a roof over a family's head on a single income. I mean, there'd be a lot of people listening to this thing, I'd love to do that. We would absolutely love to do it, but it's you know, it's changed. Yes, there's a bit of it as expectation. It's changed because some people want to go on the skiing holiday and the sun holiday and get the new car. But it's more than that. There's a lot of people who, just to keep their head above water, need two incomes.
Yeah.
Oh, we seem to have lost Wendy there. Connor, I was going to say that's a fair point, isn't it? But then I realised that's just self-praise. What do you say to that point, that society has restructured itself? It's not necessarily a fair comparison, because people are making the same point on the text line that Wendy makes. You know, people raised kids easily back in the day. What are you all whinging about?
Listen, I hate to rely on the phrase, Kieran, but it was a different time. And like when I grew up in the 1970s and 1980s, I mean, we didn't have a huge amount. Now, we don't get me wrong, we didn't want for anything, but it's not like we were going on foreign holidays. I think the first time I was on a plane, I was 20. My children at least have been on dozens and dozens of flights, and none of them have reached the age of 20. And I was going to say to Wendy when she was on the line, and I hopefully she'll be back on, is that she sounds very strict, and it sounds like she's just shy of sending your children up the chimneys to sweep them, I totally get that idea of instilling the value of money in children. But I think, you know, and I hate to say this, but I am an absolute soft touch. Now, I know some of your listeners might think I'm a total cheapskate, but when it comes to my kids, they pretty much have to say, can I just have that? And I say, yeah, sure, no problem. So I can't begin to tell you how much money I've spent in the makeup shops of Europe for my teenagers, whereas my younger daughter doesn't want for anything either. And it's because I am just, as I say, a total soft touch. And I would be the first to admit that they are entirely spoiled. But that's probably bad parenting on my part.
I always am fascinated as well, Connor. This is a slightly tangential point, but a few years ago, had we been having this debate, we'd have been inundated with texts coming in saying, you know, if you can't afford them, don't have them. You know, that was the particular view.
Yeah.
And the same cohort of people now, because what's kind of zeitgeisty is actually have kids, have loads of kids. We need to replace the population. We need taxpayers for the future. Replace the white population is the bit often left out. But, suddenly the same people who were kind of saying, if you can't afford them, don't have them, are turning around saying, no, we need government intervention and subsidies and we need the traditional family back.
I don't think people think about having children as an economic investment in their future. So I don't think somebody is sitting down and they're planning to raise kids or have a family and they're saying, well, if I have two kids now, that'll be good for my pension fund in 30 or 40 or 50 years time. That is not how people think. And I can't envisage a world in which that's how people would think.
Trust me, the best thing you could do for your private pension fund is don't have those two kids.
Yeah, but I'm just hoping that by having three children, the chances of them putting me in a home are reduced. So fingers crossed on that score, but you never can tell.
Wendy, did your attitude change kind of from child one through two and three and possibly with four? I'm just remembering when we were expecting our first and you're out going to these well-known shops around Dublin looking for well-known brands of buggies and car seats and travel systems and what have you. And actually by number two, we were just dealing with hand-me-downs and happily dealing with hand-me-downs.
Yeah, no, I think a lot has changed. And we do laugh when you think what the first child gets. And they get the swimming lessons, they get this, that and the other.
Oh,
right,
yeah.
Now I'm looking
water
out,
babies,
out
water baby. Well, photos of my first
of
under the water.
You spend a fortune on. But even in that, my eldest child is 8 years, and even in that time, there's been a massive shift of, I'm on all these free cycle groups for this baby. I've literally got everything from people I picked up within 5 minutes of me, where it's like clothes, buggies, all the different things that you need. So I do think, and I don't think there's any stigma around that anymore. I think it's kind of, it's good for the circular economy and all that sort of stuff. So there is that change starting to happen. It'd be nice to see us putting less pressure on ourselves, because I think, you know, when you talk about the expectation of what you're meant to give your child, and even I see it already with an 8-year-old, and they have this shoes or that type of t-shirt, the pressure does start very early on. But I do think it's two prongs. So one prong is setting the expectation for yourself and for your family, but the other one is government policy. I mean, you mentioned, for example, the increased cost of formula. So it's like, well, invest in maybe breastfeeding support. Obviously, childcare was one of the big costs that came back through that particular survey, saying the first year is the most expensive. Oh, that's coming ahead of me. We've been doing our budget and all that sort of stuff. But that's because we also have one of the worst paid maternity and paternity leave. So there is two prongs. There's you, the decision you make as a family, how you're going to manage it all. But also government policy does need to be there as well. But I still go back to, I know it's we're in a situation where our generation is worse off than arguably our parents, in terms of both parents are out working whether they like it or not, but we're no better off.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's part of society is failing us. But I still think we are putting pressure on ourselves to give our children everything that they want. But that, in the long run, in my opinion, doesn't actually serve them. When I was at one of the courses in that survey was talking about, obviously, the cost of college. When I was in college, I had three jobs, you know, working an overnight shift in a radio station, onto another radio station at 10 o'clock. I'm picking up shifts in a television station. And that goes back to, I think, the work ethic I was given to value money, even though my family had plenty of it.
Yeah.
But I still had to look after myself, and it certainly wasn't handed down to me, you know.
Well, Wendy, I look forward to having you back on when the kids are into pony riding and all of this is thrown out the window and all your money is absolutely gone and the frugality has been discarded. Everything is relevant. If you can't afford to rear children, don't have them, says one listener. Most modern couples have 5 bedrooms and 2 SUVs, and then they complain about things like the cost of children. If you spoil your kids, Connor, they won't mind you in your old age, advice from another listener. And I'm sick of another one along those lines. I'm sick of listening to parents nowadays going on about the cost of having kids. Who asked you to have them? I budgeted for my mortgage, for my car, etc. Stop the whinging. What do children get in child allowance and parent tax benefits? Just wondering, was that taken into account in this survey? This is from Leia Healthcare. This is the outgoings rather than the incomings related to those type of things. But yeah, what is it? €169,000. How do you know that the same people who were saying don't have kids if you can't afford them are now screaming from the treetops that we should be giving incentives for people to have more? Go away, Kieran, will you? Says another listener. I will not. 087-1400-106. Connor Pope, Consumer Affairs Correspondent with the Irish Times. Wendy Grace, columnist and journalist. Thank you both very much. Something else we heard earlier in the show, we're coming back to now. And it's this survey from Leia Healthcare. The average cost of raising a child in Ireland, €169,000 per child. Sinead Ryan is a consumer journalist and presenter of The Home Show here on News Talk. Sinead, are you surprised?
Well, I think my kids would be surprised. They're probably wondering, where could I not just have had all the money and I would have raised myself? I am and I'm not, Kieran. And these surveys that come out every so often, I mean, look, they include things that we know that cost an awful lot of money: food, clothes, childcare, education. So it's not hard to crunch the numbers and see that, in fact, bringing up a child is ferociously expensive. Anyone who has kids will know that they eat money and it doesn't change as they get older. So, no, I'm not surprised. That said, I think nowadays we certainly, children have greater expectations of having money spent on them. And I know that might be controversial, but, you know, compared to maybe when I was a kid, or maybe even you, Kieran, although that was more recently, you know, there is that expectation of travel, of holidays, of languishing in college a lot longer than maybe just getting a job. So, look, yes, we are spending more and we want to spend more to some extent on our kids.
But your expectation when you were a child was probably greater than the expectation of your parents when they were children, and so on and so on. I mean, part of that is just progress of society, isn't it? And things that were luxuries becoming cheaper.
Yeah, indeed. And I mean, look, none of us had a mobile phone or a car when we were 17 or any of that. However, you know, the cost of living hasn't necessarily kept pace with those expectations or demands, or even the basics. I mean, when you look at something that's supposed to universally help children everywhere, the children's benefit, the child allowance, that's €140 since 2016. Now, the purchase power of that is halved pretty much over that period. So, you know, you don't have all the supports that are supposed to be there to help with the children as they get older. There are lots of ways that it has been chipped away at helpfully. I mean, the fact that college fees now are at most €3,000, not the college experience, of course. And there are fantastic supports now for maternity benefit, paternity benefit. They've risen exponentially. But it kind of seems to end once the parent goes back to work. And therein, I think there is some work still to be done in the childcare sector, especially for those on very low incomes who are making a choice about going back to work or staying, having their child minded. Mm. And when it gets that polarised, you know, really we could skew our spending, I think, a little bit better.
Carol Dieter, the financial expert, is with us as well. Carol, do you think it's in the interest of society to reduce the financial burden of having children?
Well, look, the children in this country, they are the future of this country. And certainly because of the way our pension system is designed, we don't start having enough kids. You know, when I get to retirement age, there'll be no one there to support me or to help with my health care the way that I help with elderly health care now through my taxes. So it really is a circular carousel. We need enough people getting on the carousel and enough people getting off the carousel that the whole thing keeps spinning. And if we get that wrong, we get a lot more wrong. So yeah, I'm all for it.
How do we do? Because people were texting in earlier, as you'd expect, saying, you know, you know, there was 7 or 8 kids in our house growing up years ago or whatever, and we all managed to do it. And this is just kind of woke millennials whinging or something along those lines. Lots of texts along those lines, it has to be said. And it's kind of a false comparison to, I mean, there's a bit of kind of whinging going on, as there always is. But it's a slight false comparison, isn't it? Because the difference is, when that person was being raised, a single income could support a family and pay a mortgage and do all those things, whereas society's been restructured now.
Yeah, so I mean, like, kids are expensive. I mean, I don't know where I'm going to get the $500,000 to raise my 3. So, you know, that's obviously based on this survey. And I can tell you right now, it's not going to cost that. I know people who have a lot less than I have. And, you know, they've got 5 kids and their children are happy and healthy and the parents are making ends meet, but they do sacrifice a lot. But one of the things that I think we need to get back to a conversation around is the government does not have a right to continuously take your money. And McCreevy chopped people's rights to their tax band back around the year 2000. And this was an injustice that was never done. So basically, you have the right to earn $44,000 at the lower tax rate. Okay. And if you're married, you only, as a couple with one working person, only get to earn up to $53,000. In other words, they're saying that all the output of the second person, who should get another $44,000, is only worth $9,000. It should actually be $88,000. And that is a complete injustice to families in this country. It's robbery, it's tax theft, and it's never been put right. And I think if people were able to even just get more of their own money into their own pocket instead of sending it off to the government for them to piss away on bike sheds and whatever other kind of stuff they're doing, it would make a much bigger difference than a lot of these other plans.
Now, they did that, I think, to try and encourage people, you know, more people into employment. And one of the consequences of that has been the booming economy that we've all wallowed in over the last 20 years.
And we got a crash and another house price inflationary
bubble. I don't remind me of that. So,
well, look, I'm just saying that was all real stuff. So, I mean, you know, we really need to get back to the idea of saying, what is the role of government? And for the most part, they should get out of your life, get out of your pocket, stay out of your bedroom, stay out of certain places. And I really think that matters because people can actually make better decisions for themselves. And we do need to have better interventions for the people who don't have enough. And that's my basic thesis. Like, if you're talking about how to make children affordable again, you know, any guy in the world can help in, you know, laying down the blueprints with their significant other. That's the great bit, you know. But then there's another 20 odd years after that you've got to worry about. Like, we have to start thinking, how do you do that? And do you do it with endless government interventions, or do you just let people have their own money to make their own decisions with? And I think that's a basic point that never gets made.
Sinead, let's assume that that happens. I mean, beyond that, beyond kind of government intervention, or rather maybe kind of government non-intervention is the way to describe it, what could or should people do? We had Wendy Grace on earlier and she said, listen, there's a kind of a tendency now to just say yes as well to everything your children want, and maybe we need to also go back to a time when you said no more often and you got them to work from when they were about 15.
Well, indeed, and I do love the American in Carl that pops up every so often regarding government policy intervention. We intervene all of the time. In France, you get a massive tax break for having a third and fourth child because, as you quite rightly pointed out, we need more kids in the economy. And when it comes to bringing up those kids, I think that we are mollycoddling a lot of them far too early and for far too long. I mean, for instance, you know, getting a summer job, a weekend job, that's a rite of passage. And it should start from as early as is practically possible. Now, there are laws in place and underage hours and all that kind of thing, and they're there for a good reason. But I think it is important in parents to instill a work ethic early on that nothing comes for free. And even when it comes to teaching money lessons, it's communion and confirmation season now. There's the time to sit down your child and not just say, well, hey, we're going to be counting 50 euro notes and off you go to Smith's toy store. It's to sit down and say, look, there's choices that can be made here. There's a power to this money. These pieces of paper don't mean anything until you go to buy something with them. How about we discuss where that's going to go, what you're going to do with it and what plans you have for it? And if enough children were taught how to do that, we possibly wouldn't have had the financial crash that the adults created later on.
Well, we have a First Holy Communion this Saturday, and if it's anything like the first iteration of it a couple of years ago, my daughter is going to buy a calf like my son did, which is presently fattening up in the fields of South Kilkenny on its way to the factory, I hope, in 12 months' time. He certainly hopes. Anyway, on that note, Carl Dieter, financial expert, Sinead Ryan, consumer journalist and presenter of The Home Show here on News Talk. Sinead and Carl, thank you very, very much. Hi, Kieran, says one listener, Colm. As I've always said, quit old child benefits and just give every child a stipend of 10,000 euros a year until they're 18. Everybody will have kids. It's a good investment for the government because they get 4 million euro tax for everybody who completes a working life. Bowen Finglas says, Kieran, it works out at about 7.5 grand a year when you do the maths if they go all the way to third level and stay at home until age 22, according to this survey, which isn't exorbitant, really. Bo, thank you for doing the maths.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.